to the Supercoach Champions podcast. You're here with Catfish, rolling solo in a bit of a, a hybrid of our late mail edition slash, the normal second episode we have each week. Long story short, just, scheduling is hard when people are busy. So that's what it came down to. So today, look, I put out the call for questions, got plenty of questions from Twitter or X, as they call it. And of course, the Champs Discord have given me some gold as well. I'm also going to tackle our crunch in the numbers and we'll talk captaincy as well. And then we'll tackle your questions, which, I mean, a lot of the strategy discussions and considerations at this point of the season are very much centered around what the Champs are bringing up in the Discord and obviously the questions that you guys are putting out on Twitter slash X as well. So, look, let's just dive straight into it and, we'll crunch some numbers. Crunch numbers like I do. They call me the king of the spreadsheets. Got them all printed out on my bed sheets. My new computer's got the clocks and rocks. All right, thanks as always to our good friend Carl McGrath, accountant. If you want to make sure you're not fudging your numbers when it comes to your taxes, make sure you get Carl to help you out. So today's number crunching comes from a question from Jamie163 from the Champs Discord. Basically, he wanted to ask, what three teams do we expect to score the most points rest of season? And specifically, are there any teams that could be slipping under the radar? So I guess, we think about late season scoring. You look at the teams that traditionally and consistently do well. Look, the Panthers are just a juggernaut, right? They've been going really well every single year the last couple of years. We know the Storm always turn it up at the business end of the season, and we're seeing that as well as they build their form. For 2023, though, there's a few new teams, I guess you could say, that we're not used to seeing at this end. So in particular, the Warriors. And a lot of that's just because the Warriors are much stronger this year, but they're also getting a really kind draw. We're looking at the Knights, and how much of that is because in previous seasons, Kalen Ponga has either not been, he's been shut down like last year, obviously with a concussion, or the Knights are just not traveling very well. There's multiple reasons for that, but this year is totally different, right? They're putting on absolutely massive numbers there. And the third team is the Broncos, and that's largely because the Broncos have been crap the last few years, but they are a different team attacking-wise. The introduction of Reece Walsh on top of, obviously, the other pieces they had has just added a whole new dimension to their attack, and the numbers, the points scoring is definitely adding up to that. So I know I'm not telling you guys anything new at this point in time, but one team that traditionally I would have said the first team I would have put on this list has always been the Roosters, right? Every year we talk about it, post-Origin, after that final bye, after Game 3 Origin and whatever, they just go on a run and they score points and they score points. Now, this year in particular, it's been a bit iffy, right? The Roosters have not been good in 2023. Their ladder position backs it up. And I think the salt in the wound for the Roosters was that not only were they losing games, but they were just unable to score points. I'm not 100% sure which week it was, but it wasn't that many weeks ago where the Roosters were literally the worst team in the NRL on a points per game basis. And you look at their scoring for 2023, it matches up. Rounds 1 to round 19, basically they were scoring 16.4 points per game in the 16 games. Not great, right? And I know there was chat, 4 or 5 weeks ago where some people were wrestling with the idea of, well, do the Roosters come out and improve and actually be the good scoring team that they used to be? So comparing round 20 to round 24, so this is obviously after they had their bye and everything like that, they've averaged 23.6 points per game in the last 5 games. So yeah, definitely, that's almost a try and a half uptick since then. And that has largely coincided with an improvement in the Supercoach scores, right? Teddy's had a couple of good games since then. Joey Manu in particular has stood out even though he's been at centre. So there's definitely some positive signs, I guess you could say, from the last few games. But improvement is relative, and I think the Roosters, they've only scored above 30 points on 2 occasions this whole season. Round 21, they scored 36 points against the Titans, and the round just gone 30 points against the Dolphins. Outside of that, nothing over 30. Now, this is where I look back at last year, 2022 season, rounds 1 to 16, they were still only averaging 21.1 points per game in the first 16 games. So, not great still, but better than 16.4. But then you compare round 18 to 25, so keeping in mind Origin was played round 17, I believe. Round 18 and 25 saw them score 37.3 points per game in 8 games. So yeah, there's some big blowouts there. I think we can't ignore the 72 points they scored on
the Tigers, but there's 40s and 50s in the mix as well. Now, you could keep going back, but look, the reality is the numbers in 2021 and even in 2020, they're just so different because of the changes that happened during the season, mid-season even, especially in 2020. So I don't put a lot of stock in the numbers there, but if you go back to 2019, the trend is still there. You know, rounds 1 to 17, 23.2 points per game in 16 games. I think round 18 was when they played Origin. Round 17 might have been the actual Origin game. But then round 18 to 25, 32 points per game in the remaining 8 games per season. So it's just, there's always been that consistent trend for the Roosters. Now, like I said, we're seeing an uptick, but the Roosters are still struggling to get past 30. So we're not going to see the heights of previous seasons. I guess with just 3 rounds to go and looking at the fact that they do have, you know, the Eels who just got massively smashed by the Broncos last week. Then they've got the Tigers, and then they've got the final round against the Rabbitohs where they might be able to knock the Rabbitohs out of the top 8 or whatever. So there is potential here for some scores to be put on. Now, whether the Eels can turn up and play well, whether the Tigers, are they the late-season Tigers that just get smashed a lot? Who knows? But to go back to the original question, which was, you know, which 3 teams could be the top-scoring teams for the rest of the season, well, the fact is you can't look at teams that have a bye. So, you know, the Broncos are ruled out for me. The Panthers, look, they could score enough this round for the rest of the season, but I think the chances of the Panthers resting in round 27 is very real. So if you bring in players, you may only get 2 games out of them. So that's something to keep in mind. The Warriors, look, I think we can still trust them. That's one of the teams I will put in the top 3. But Supercoach-wise, there are some question marks, right? Chance is a constant risk. SJ may not be goal-kicking. You know, we know what Fanua Blake and Tohu Harris and all those other guys are that, you know, I'm not actively bringing anyone else in. Dallin might be the one name that if you don't have them ready that you could look at. Then, yeah, look, I think the Storm will be there. I think they still have enough to play for in that they're in the top 4 now, but they're not locked in. So they need to win and, you know, make sure they improve their points differential and all that type of stuff to lock in top 4. And, I mean, we know the Storm will get it done at the back end of the season. Plus, round 27 against the Broncos at Suncorp Stadium. Despite the fact that the Broncos have been travelling so well, I'm still terrified. Ryan Pappenhausen apparently is back from round 26 onwards. Maybe he's coming off the bench or whatever, but the trauma is real. Ryan Pappenhausen in a Storm jersey against my Broncos is just, yeah, he will score points. The Storm will score points. They love playing at Suncorp. And even against the Broncos, I'm not convinced the Storm don't still beat the Broncos convincingly. Like, I don't really believe in hoodoos generally, but the Broncos, they have a winning record against every single other NRL team at the moment across, you know, their lifetime, except the Melbourne Storm. And it's not even close. The Storm are like 3-1 over the Broncos in terms of their win-loss record, whereas the Broncos are at least 50% and better against everyone else. And in some cases, they're like 70% as well. So it's massive. And yeah, like I said, I think the Storm will be up there. But this is where I come back to. Maybe the Roosters actually are in that top 3 for the rest of the season by virtue of the fact that they do have the Eels this week, the Tigers next week, and then, you know, they always turn up to put up a fight against the Rabbitohs who, let's face it, they've just been very unconvincing lately. And let's not forget that Sam Walker apparently will be returning next round. So, look, I'll let you make your own conclusions at the end of the day regarding the Roosters, but I definitely think they are going to be the one team that might be a little bit under the radar, and they could potentially be much better than we expect just because of what they usually do. Although, I guess it's all relative, right? So much better could just be in reference to what they've done so far this year. But hey, hopefully some food for thought there. So otherwise, get in touch with Carl. Get Carl to do your tax return, and he'll legally maximize your tax refund, whether it's just basic tax returns or accounting for things like rental properties, capital gains on shares, or crypto trading. Carl can help you out and record everything correctly. And as always, Carl is a small business owner, so you'll be talking directly with him. He doesn't have minions and junior staff to do your work. No work's done overseas or anything like that. And as a result of this, Carl has very few overheads, so he can pass on the savings onto his clients. So just remember, he's doing a special for Supercoach Champions podcast listeners. That's $99 for a basic tax return. Or if you have some more complex finances, he'll still look after you on price and have a chat to you regarding Supercoach as well. Although maybe not this year. Apparently he's gone pretty poorly. Anyway, let's move on.
Good morning, Captain.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking.
Aye, aye, Captain.
I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Savvy.
All right, so it's an interesting week for Captain C. I know last week we had some high hopes, all right? There was meant to be the dream matchups, guys in form, scoring plenty of points, and it fizzled out, unfortunately. Not that they horribly underperformed at the end of the day, but it wasn't quite the heights we were expecting. You know, none of the most popular captaincy options went to triple figures. Typical Supercoach. Anyway, look, I'll keep it short. Captain C, I think, is pretty clear-cut. I mean, first game, Cowboys and Sharks. Nico Hines, or especially Scott Drinkwater, definitely in contention there. SJ plays the second game in New Zealand. It's also, I think this is the round they earmarked to raise funds for Daniel Anderson, obviously former Warriors coach, going through some tough times health-wise. So I reckon the Warriors will be up for this one. The only question mark is, will he goal kick? I think that will cap his ceiling, obviously, but otherwise, I do believe SJ is a definite option. The Seagulls, whilst they are, I won't say resilient, they are a little bit fragile away from home. They're tougher at home. So this one being in New Zealand, plus Morgan Harper back in the centres, that's never a good thing defensively for them. So yeah, some question marks there. Otherwise, you're getting to captaincy options, and obviously the standout, Nathan Cleary, if you got him, I can't go past him as a captaincy option just because of that matchup. I mean, the Titans are $10, right? The Panthers are $1.06. So yeah, that's the clear standout. I mean, even if you want to go like a little bit on straight on like a Brian Tor or something like that, it's probably not the worst move. Otherwise, I do think if we're looking at other options here, you know, Latrell's a every week option. Kalen Ponga, how do you go past him? Even though that matchup has the potential to be lower scoring or whatever, like I do think both are still valid options. And lastly, there's obviously the Munster and Grant options against the Dragons. It is obviously away from home, so that does usually limit their upside. I think, as we've said in the past, but they don't really have the 120, 130 plus ceiling the way they play at the moment. But I definitely do think they could be very safe and solid options. If you want, say, you know, 90 plus, both could be there. So I definitely do think they are options here. I don't think it's a week to go too risky. If you are, like, you might have a lower rostered guy in the first place, and to double down and put the captaincy on them just doesn't seem like it's worthwhile. So I'm going to keep it simple myself. I've got VC on Sean Johnson, and I think I'm going to stick with Kalen Ponga. Note being, I don't have Nathan Cleary or Latrell Mitchell. So yeah. Anyway, short and sweet. For the Captain C, let's jump over to some of your questions for this week.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
All right. Thanks as always for all your questions off Twitter or off the Champs Discord. I'm going to start off with one of our champs. It's Reese, coach of Thrawn's Legion, right up the pointy end. Who has some good pods under 600,000 to cover the last two rounds of head-to-head? So I'm going to throw out some names there. They are definitely not your traditional options, but, you know, you asked for pods, so I'm going to do my best to find some left-field options. I'm going to start off with the Roosters winger, Daniel Tupou, 598,900, only in 1.7% of teams, sitting on, you know, 65-70 for his last 3 to 5 round averages. Didn't score that well last week with the 43, but an 88, a 66, even a 122 five rounds ago against the Storm. We know if the Roosters get going, he could be on the end of that. And keep in mind, like, these are Tupou's scores with the Roosters not playing that well. So, yeah, if they do click for the last three rounds, like they might, especially with Sam Walker returning, I think Tupou is a sneaky one there. But I'm going to throw his counterpart on the other side, Joseph Suoli'i. Obviously goal-kicking, but he might lose that to Sam Walker, so that's a bit of a question mark there. But, you know, he's averaged 63.7, 64.8, so around the mid-60s in the last couple of weeks as well. And as we've said, you know, it's the same draw. He's a little bit cheaper at the mid-550s. I don't know where your budget-wise, what you want to do there. You know, even looking at Nat Butcher, I know it's a bit weird, but he is actually going quite well, and his spot seems to be the most secure of the back rowers at the Roosters as well. Again, throwing the Sam Walker factor, he could be okay. Now, I'm expecting a really popular name here, but it's Elisa Katoa. I think, you know, 95 last round, despite not playing the full 80. We know he's been struggling with injuries and all of that type of stuff, but the Dragons match up this round, and then it's still a pretty manageable matchup against the Titans. Look, the Titans are tough because they seem to somehow always turn up against the Storm. They have a surprisingly good recent record against them, and I think they beat them earlier this year. So I'd expect the Storm to account for them comfortably, especially because they did lose earlier this year, but stranger things have happened. But yeah, Dragons and Titans in the head-to-head finals, come on. So I guess by virtue of that, you could look at any other Storm outside back if you wanted to be a little bit frisky there. But Elisa Katoa is probably the safer option there. And then this is where you can, like, if you're head-to-head only, you can look at guys like Stephen Crichton, even bring in back Taruva or Peachy. Peachy's a bit risky, obviously, with Tungo, unknown when he'll be back. But Stephen Crichton, you know, 570K, he's sitting at a 63 three-round average. And we know, like, if Cleary decides to have an early shower, Crichton gets to kick the goal. So, yeah, obviously, the Panthers are going to go massive this week. I can't see any way they don't. And then Titans and then Eels. Again, no Mitch Moses. And, I mean, Brad Arthur's trying some funky stuff at the moment. So I definitely don't... I'm not scared of the Eels in any way as a so-called tough matchup at this point of the year. I'll throw one more name out there. It's actually Semi Valame from the Cowboys. 559K. And, look, he's only in 2% of teams. Like, just hardly anybody has him in. He gets to run against that Sharks left edge that has been leaking all those tries. And I know the Sharks have made some adjustments and all of that, but I don't see it stopping, basically. So the Sharks could let people in that side. So that'll be Semi. And then, I mean, it's Dolphins next week in head-to-head grand finals. So, yeah, I think, like, Drinky to Semi has happened a number of times. And it's not every week, but he's gone pretty well. And, yeah, I mean, what, 5 tries in the last 5 games. There's 2 doubles in there, and that's where he's got that 117 score. So, yeah, you're going to get some lower scores if he doesn't score a try, but I'd be surprised if he's not scoring at least 1 try in each of the next 2 games, if not more. So I kind of really like him as a sneaky pod to finish with, but, you know, as with all of these names, very risky. But yeah, you asked for pods, I threw some at you. Good luck, Reese. Trust your gut, as always. Next question is from Puzzles, another person from our Champs Discord. He's asking about Kyle Felt and Ronnie Mulitalo, looking at their matchups, whether they're a play this week or a sit. So I think, and from memory, these are very draft-driven, so not so much classic. So Kyle Felt, I think I stuffed up when I talked about it in the other episode. I was thinking, like, Felt's always been a right winger, and I just automatically associated him as the right winger. I talked about Ronnie running at him, but I think it's going to be Ronnie and Semi Valame instead, because I remember Kyle Felt was on the left wing, and he bombed a try because he's not used to being on the left wing. So assuming that's not changed, then, yeah, it'll be Felt up against Katoa, and then obviously Ronnie will be against Valame. I still think the Sharks aren't that good, and I feel like the Cowboys are still better than the Sharks, so I'm going to lean towards Felt on this one. I think Felt bombed 2 tries, like, at least, against the Broncos in the previous game before their bye, so he could have been on a big, big score. I feel like the Cowboys, coming off the bye, I'm going to trust them more, and that's why I'm leaning towards Felt over Ronnie, but honestly, it could be as simple as pick the guy from the team you think is going to win this game. So if you think the Sharks turn up and play well, then maybe go with the Ronnie option there. But good luck with your choice there, mate. And from Stinkbomb, again from the Champs Discord, he asked, where do babies come from? Mate, I better, I'll address this one in the Discord, maybe in your DMs, because I don't think it's something I can really talk about on the podcast. All right, jumping over to Twitter/X. First question is from Malcolm at PowerBalance93. Pick 2 reserves out of Marnie, Murray, Matto, Bateman, Garrick, and Taruva. I'm going to scratch Marnie out of that straight away. Like, I just don't trust him at all. Like, you're really counting on him to get some attacking stats. Maybe he will. still get those attacking stats, but he's just, yeah, he's not that good as an option compared to the others. Cam Murray, look, he's had a bit of a resurgence, but I'm still not entirely convinced. Ryan Madison's tough, right? The Eels are just not in a good space. I don't know what his role is going to be. There's every chance that he's on an edge at the start of final teams, so whatever. Bateman's got the great matchup. I do think there's some potential for attacking stats against that Dolphins team. There is a little bit of uncertainty as to which edge he's going to be running at. Like, previously it was Connolly Lemuelu on the left edge. I would guess that it's Ewan Aitken's the guy on the left side, and he used to be a left edge back rower back at the Warriors, and honestly, he wasn't actually that bad defensively. He's been pretty poor in the centers, and that's where like a lot of opposition centers and wingers cashed in, taking advantage of Ewan Aitken in the centers. But I think on the edge, he actually might be all right. So yeah, it's tough, right? Because if you Aitken's on the other side and Felice Kaufusi's there, then Bateman, I think he's going to be okay either way. And then Garrick, look, it's not the best matchup. And then obviously Taruva, what a good matchup that is. But again, Tyron Peachy back in the centers, which we know that's never great. Not that Tungo's been fantastic as well, but he would pass more often than Peachy does. So look, I think I would actually go Bateman and then Taruva if you're chasing the most upside, and a coin cost between Garrick and Murray, depending on what you want. Like, they both could be very solid 60 scores, and, you know, Garrick's got potential to drop an 80 if he gets one attacking stat there. But yeah, I think Taruva, if you're chasing the biggest upside, based purely off matchup. Next question from Peter at Man Like Hambo. Last reserve on IPAP or Bateman against the Finns? This is so tough. Toss a coin, maybe? Look, I think I'd have to lean Bateman. He's got a bit more of a ceiling. You look at Papali'i, he scored, you know, 56 a couple of weeks ago with a try in there. And otherwise, like 59, 54, 60. Did have a 72 where you get a try assist with a line break as well. I think I'd lean towards Bateman's side, with the knowledge that if Bateman does miss out on all the attacking stats, he could be looking at, like, you know, a mid-40s score like he dropped against the Bunnies and the Raiders. Although, again, I think he spent some time at center in one of those games. Whereas, yeah, generally, if he's got an attacking stat, he's looked at, I mean, 75 last week. That was with a try contribution, a line break assist, and a line break as well. You go in a little bit early in the year when he scored tries. I mean, 102 against the Raiders with a line break and a try, 88 against the Cowboys with a try and a try contribution. So he's definitely got a bit more ceiling than IPAP at the moment. So I would have to lean him. Although I think both do carry a certain level of risk. So yeah. From Altia Rowan at the _ Scarfy, everybody and their dog is going Munster, pivot to Luai. Look, I won't say it's not an option. I just think with the matchups Munster does have, like this week and next week, it's so good for Munster, honestly. The question is, and I'm sure you've seen the rumours, Munster is waiting on his partner to give birth. It's scheduled. They're expecting the bub to arrive next week, but there is a chance she may go into labour early. So, yeah, I think Jonah Pezet's been pulled from Cup. The question is, obviously, there needs to be a bit of travel to Wynn Stadium. So, yeah, I think if Munster plays, I'd stick with him, but Luai is a decent option. You just really need to trust that it's going to be a Luai game, especially this round against the Titans. And keeping in mind, apparently he missed last week because of illness. I'm not suggesting that he will still be sick or whatever, but I know some of the other players that have copped illness and they've actually missed games because of it. They've been hit pretty hard, so it must have been a pretty bad sickness. I don't know what Luai's got, whether he was just an excuse to give him a week off. Honestly, not sure. So that's my other hesitation with him. Yeah, sorry, mate. Not much help. I would stick with Munster. I just don't think Luai is worth risking. Next question from Luke at Bin Chickening. Hey, Wolf, two trades left and I want to get a piece of Penrith. Already have Dylan Edwards, but he's been pretty underwhelming. Thoughts on burning a trade to go Hopgood to Sorensen? Oh, geez. Look, you guys know I'm a big fan of Hot Scott Sorensen. He's in my team. And I think in one of the replies, it's been pointed out that he has been getting shortened games. So a couple of early showers, basically. Now, I don't know if that's just because the game's been in hand and this is their chance to rest him a little bit. I don't know if he's carrying an injury. So that's just something to be mindful of. That said, if he plays 65 minutes against this Titans team, he's going to be the one running against the rookie, if I'm not mistaken, unless they swap to accommodate him because he might be normally a left edge player or something. I'm not sure, honestly. But if he isn't and Weaver gets to go on the right edge where Tanner Boyd normally is, then, you know, I don't know if he's a better or worse defender than Tanner Boyd, but I can imagine the Panthers would love to send plenty of traffic down his way. So that could be, you know, points for Sorensen there regardless. My question comes more about whether or not you trade out Hopgood as the sacrifice for Sorensen. And I understand that there's a lot of uncertainty about his role with him being named on the edge and everything like that. I'm just not sure it's that much of an upgrade. And plus my, I guess, thoughts on, you know, is he the left edge? Is Dylan Brown the guy feeding him? And the other question is, if Andrew Davies back in the team next week, for example, does that push Hopgood back to lock? In which case he's probably going to be pretty decent back in his normal role. So the other thing is, every time I even remotely consider trading out Hopgood, the next week he's just, you know, smashed out a 90 or 100 or whatever, just to remind me why it's a bad idea to trade him out. So look, as much as I love Hotscott, I think I would actually lean away against making that trade. Is there someone else you can sacrifice instead to get him in? So this is not a question of, do I think Sorensen will outscore Hopgood? I think he will this week. It's just a matter of whether, with two trades left, and, you know, is that worth using your second last trade on that upgrade, if that makes sense. I think you've just got to make that call yourself on that one there. From Bluey Tick at Filio1802. Hey, Wolf, how would you rank the likely scores of these five this week? Can only pick four in my 17. So he's got Nikora, Tohu, Hopgood, Tarpane, and Horsbrough. Jeez. I think for me, I would stick with Nikora and Tohu, so lock those two in. And it's just a matter of whether you go with Hopgood and flip a coin on Tarpane or Horsbrough, or you drop Hopgood and just play both Raiders forwards. I actually might lean towards that one just because I think the Raiders will win against the Bulldogs, whereas Hopgood, it's just too much uncertainty as to how he's going to go. You know, like if he gets 80 on the edge and finds an attacking stat, he'll be great. If he goes 20 minutes on the edge and then moves into the middle when someone else comes on the field, plays 30 more minutes and then he's off the field for another 15 or whatever, like, that's not great, right? 20 on the edge and then, you know, just 30, 35 in the middle, I think that will see him score pretty poorly. So if you don't want to have that uncertainty, then maybe just stick with the Raiders forwards. I am currently tossing up myself whether I play Hopgood or Jermaine Asako. And I think I'm leaning Asako just there. Also, try not to be influenced by the fact that I benched Asako when he went 120 plus a couple of rounds ago. So, yeah, hopefully that helps. I think, yeah, gun to my head, I'd probably sit Hopgood just out of those four, five options in there. From Sam C at Cray Wolf, three trades left. Have the buy-in head-to-head this week in the grand final next week. Would you trade Cody Walker and AJ to CNK and DWZ? All right, so obviously the Bunnies won't help you this round, as you don't need them to play for your head-to-head, and they obviously are useless next week for you. I don't think I would get Chance in this round, just because, you know, he's one head knock again to missing next week. So I'd probably just trade one of them to DWZ. So whoever's got the, you know, least likely to lose cash or whatever out of the two, and save the other trade to, you know, to go to CNK next week. That's probably how I would play it. Or, again, you could look at someone else instead, like a Dane Gagai or Stormback or whatever. Those might be other options, and just get one of the two. I just think if you don't need them to play this round, I'd probably try hold the trade and wait till next week before you use it, just in case of injury. So, yeah. Yeah, to simplify it, one trade, get DWZ in, and then just save two trades for next week when you finally need it. And then we've got RJ at Gunner Say, trading out Piakura and Tungo, which do you prefer? So two options, there's Eli Katoa and To'o, and then there's DWZ and Yo / McInnes. I don't think I'd pick Yo just because of the fact that, yeah, I mean, he's been going really well. I just, like, surely he's getting an early shower and resting in round 27 or something like that. So McInnes has been absolutely killing it. Yeah, I don't think he's going to keep it up. Like, he's ultimately mostly just a tackle bot, literally. But he's gotten some attacking stats along the way somehow. So I don't think it's sustainable, personally. I actually think A might actually be better. Just Katoa against the next two matchups for the Storm, and then To'o, we know what he's like. Yeah, Oh, I do like DWZ too. It might even just be Ikotoa and DWZ, honestly. That could be an option too. But yeah, I think out of the two, I'd lean A slightly, and just throwing out a C in there is Katoa and DWZ and save the cash on someone else that you've, I don't know, if you've got any other trades, obviously. If you don't have any trades left, then yeah, go for broke. Hopefully that helps. And I'll finish with one last question. So it wasn't a specific question from the Champs Discord, more of a discussion point, but the idea of sitting someone like a Dave Fifita, who obviously has such a tough matchup against the Panthers, right? And no Kieran Foran in this round as well. A lot of uncertainty there. I mean, I won't say it's not an option. It's definitely a pod move that you could do. If you're desperate in a head-to-head and you're not the favorite, it might not be the worst move. But I guess I wanted to work out what's the real, you know, what are you potentially sitting, right? And you look at Fifita's scores this year with and without Foran, like, if let's just look at his score. So let's take out the 33-minute game there where he scored 16. He's got a 60-minute game, which is against the Storm, where he was taken off for some time. I think it was just a really hot day. So he came off, still scored 49 in 60 minutes. And then he's got a 57 in 61 minutes. That was in round 21. That was interesting, to say the least. A 67-minute game, 74-minute game. So maybe there's been some managing of his minutes, but he still scored 57, 88, and 94 in those games. Sure, there's probably a tougher defensive wall he's facing here, but this is also Dave Fifita. He doesn't really need that much to score. Now, take out the Kieran Foran factor, and I get that's something to be, you know, that needs to be taken into account. Now, Kieran Foran has actually played a lot of the games, so I think there's only been one game that Fifita's played that Foran has missed entirely, and that was in round 6. He scored 76 in 80 minutes against the Dragons, so you'd be pretty happy with that. And the other scores where I guess Foran either didn't finish the game, so, you know, round 1 he played 56 minutes, Fifita scored 83. In round 2, Foran played, no, that's not right. In round 3, Foran actually played in reduced time as well. Again, it might have just been that hot day or HIA in there. All right, round 4, he played 23 minutes. So in round 4, Dave Fifita scored 96 against the Cowboys, with Foran only playing 23 minutes of that game. And then you've got in round 17, where Foran only played 60 minutes. This was against the Broncos and, yeah, Fifita, 121. And lastly, round 24, Foran played 40 minutes, and Fifita scored 68 in 80 minutes. So, you know, if you average it out, like, even if you take out the 121, right, like, I think that was a bit of an outlier, but he's still in the other five games where Foran has either missed a game or, you know, played less than 60 minutes, let's say. He's still averaged 74.4. And then across the season, like, his lowest scores, Fifita's lowest scores, 60, 57, 49, 69, 68. Like, that's his lowest, even with or without Foran. So to me, like, what are you sacrificing? Like, you're hoping that he scores a 50 or a 60 at worst. And he's obviously, you know, capable of putting up big scores, like, against any team. 82 against the Broncos and 121 against the Broncos, 88 against the Cowboys, 94 against the Warriors. Like, these are all, you know, some of the better defensive teams this year. Even the Storm, like, I mean, Storm was the other game, but that was super hot. I do remember that game very vividly because I think Christian Welsh only played like 30-something minutes that game out of the blue. So I just don't, like, I wouldn't do it normally. I know some people are sitting, you know, the likes of Fifita, like, they're considering sitting Fifita for someone like a Bateman or a Hopgood or something like that. Like, there's no way I would do any of that. I'd just play Fifita. That's just, yeah, hopefully I've at least outlined my reasoning for that. At the end of the day, back your gut. If your gut says you got to bench him because you don't trust him to do anything against the Panthers, then do it. And yeah, just don't get upset if he does go big because you know he can. And if you get it right, absolutely victory lap the hell out of it, because that is a ballsy call and I would have massive, massive respect for you for doing that. So good luck with that choice. Anyway, I've got to finish this up there. So for me, I think it's another no trade week for me. My single solitary trade will survive until round 26. And yeah, I mean, I've still got Billy Smith on the bench, Blake Wilson's on the bench. I've been actually benching Jermaine Hopgood, like I said, for Osako this week. Yeah, I'm still undecided on that because that scares me. But yeah, anyway, that's where my team is at the moment. No Cleary, no Latrell, and yeah, a little bit worried there, but who knows. I'm trusting in Hot Scott Sorensen and Campbell Graham to carry me to, you know, my dreamed 1K finish. It's going to take some miracles to get there, I think. But yeah, all right, I'll do my best. Thanks for listening, everyone. Oh, good luck for this week, and we'll catch you again soon.